Bible and turn to the book of Genesis. Danielle, thank you so much for playing tonight. Genesis chapter number 46 tonight in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 46 tonight in your Bibles. Genesis chapter number 46. Anthony, I always start early, so you're right on time. Glad you guys made it tonight. So, Genesis chapter number 46 in your Bibles tonight. And Genesis chapter 46 tonight in your Bibles. By the way, you be praying for me. It's hot. And I mean, I'm really struggling right now. So I was sitting out on my swing today, and I had a big old, you know, quart cup filled with ice cubes, and that was the only way I was staying cool. So you pray for me if you would. I was talking to a friend of mine in Watertown, New York today, and a pastor up there. And if you know anything about New York, Watertown gets not inches of snow, they get feet of snow. They just measure the snow by feet. And I said, preacher, I said, you still got snow? He said, no, he said, it just finally all melted. He said, it's about 55 today. I said, man, I said, what I need to do is I need to pastor up in New York where you're at in the summer and then be down here in the winter. I need to be a snowbird traveling pastor. And so if you guys would all move up to New York with me, that'd be wonderful for the summer. But you know, I am encouraged. Mark, I've got a garden. This stuff's coming up. I was encouraged by that. I mean, man, this is April and we're getting ready to reap the fruits of it. I'm happy. Anyway, Genesis chapter number 46, and let's get into the message tonight. Notice in verse number 31. The Bible says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Notice chapter 47 and verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, my father and my brethren, and their flocks and their herds and all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You know, it's amazing as you come to Genesis chapter 46. Of course, last week we talked about that wonderful reunion. And boy, just the events unfolded with that as Joseph was finally reunited with his dad. And boy, how sweet that is in the Word of God. But it's amazing we come to Genesis chapter 46 and verse 31, all the way here to chapter number 47. Joseph is getting ready to present his brothers to Pharaoh. Of course, everybody in Egypt has heard that Joseph's brothers are there. Everybody's excited. The dignitaries know, the TMZ and the Fox News Channel and CNN. I mean, they're there with the cameras, you know, long lost reunion, you know, family reunited. I mean, this was big news. Joseph's family is alive. And Joseph, before he brings his family to Pharaoh, before he introduces his brothers to Pharaoh and his dad to Pharaoh, Joseph gets along with his brothers and he says, fellas, he said, let me just tell you exactly your predicament. Let me tell you exactly what has taken place. Guys, you guys are shepherds. And shepherds are looked down upon by the Egyptians. The Bible says that they were despised by the Egyptians. And so Joseph, he begins to tell his brothers how they are to interact with Pharaoh. And what I find amazing is in this passage and the message that we've got to take home tonight is the reality is, child of God, we're not to fit in with this society. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And Joseph said, listen, guys, guys, let me remind you of something. I'm placing you in Goshen because I don't want you to get tied down to the system of Egypt. Guys, I'm placing you there because I'm reminding you that one day soon we're leaving Egypt and we're going back to the promised land. And yet Joseph said, I want you to understand, guys, you're not to fit in with the society in which surrounds you. I'll never forget when I was a kid growing up, I think I mentioned a couple services before that my dad was a big New York Yankee fan. And I know Schwanky rhymes with Yankee, and but I hate the New York Yankees, all right? Because we're Baptists, and the first B in the Baptist is the Boston Red Sox, and that preaches real good in New York City. But I think about my dad, man, we love to go to the ball games. My dad, for a while, had season tickets at Yankee Stadium, and he would buy the bleacher seats because they were super cheap, and he would scalp them on big games and made some money doing that. It was pretty cool for the family. But we would go down to different playoff games. And if you know anything about the curse of the Bambino for the Boston Red Sox, it was big when I was a teenager, because the Red Sox had not won a World Series since 1918. And Babe Ruth had put a curse upon the Red Sox and they weren't winning. And man, during that time, the Yankees and the Red Sox were fierce in their rivalry. And the Red Sox and Yankees had great lineups. And then we go to those games. And I remember during the playoff games, we go down sometimes and, of course, when I would go to a game, you understand I was not a silent fan. Are you understand what I'm saying? You know, some guys go to the games and they just sit there, you know? Not me, man. When I go to a game and the Red Sox are beating up on the Yankees, I'm going to let everybody know about it. And I remember one game we went to where I had my, you know, Trot Nixon sign. I had my Boston Red Sox cap on. I had my Red Sox shirt on. Man, I'm ready to go, ready to cheer on the Red Sox. And the Red Sox started to dominate the game. And as they started to dominate the game, we're in New York City where the rough, tough New Yorkers are at, and they started to throw different objects my way. I'm talking about batteries and popcorns and liquids flying through the air. I mean, it was just one messed up situation. And my dad pulled me down. He said, Steve, he said, you sit here. I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to say anything. Just sit here and watch the game, because if you don't stop, he said, we're probably going to go out on a stretcher, you know? And I remember thinking to myself, boy, I don't fit in with this society. And I think about the illustration that Joseph is trying to teach his brothers. What's he trying to teach them? He's teaching, listen, guys, you're in Yankee Stadium cheering for the Boston Red Sox. Hey, you're in the wrong stadium. You're in the wrong location. This world is not your home. You're just a passing through. And guys, because you don't fit in, let me give you a pep talk. Let me tell you some things to say so that way you will be accepted by Pharaoh. And so what did Joseph say? He said, there are verse number 31, he said, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which are in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation, that ye shall say. So here's the script. Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers. Don't you love the way he phrased that? That's like, you know, somebody that works at a dump, you know? What do you do for work? I work at a sanitation factory. No, you work at a dump, all right? You deal with people's garbage and the junk. No, it's a sanitation factory, you know? It's that PC, you know, society we want to live in, you know? And nobody wants to be offended, you know? Everybody wants to be, and listen, no, you work at a dump, call it what it is, you know? But Joseph said, hey, guys, you've been about the business of trading cattle. It sounds like they work, you know, they work at Wall Street trading stocks and trading cattle futures and stuff like that. No, they were just farmers taking care of the sheep. But Joseph said, guys, here's how you're going to say you've been about the business of trading cattle. And I love, as you come to chapter 47 in verse number 1, notice here the message. What were the brothers preaching? What were they saying to Pharaoh? What should be our sermon as we leave tonight and we go out into the world tomorrow and on Friday and Saturday? What should we be following as Joseph's brothers follow? Notice first of all how they preached that message in verse number 32 and verse number 3 that they were shepherds. Joseph said in verse 32, he's going to ask, what's your occupation? In verse number 33, what's your occupation? Joseph said, try to water it down. Don't be as bold. But notice in verse number 3, it says of chapter 47, and Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our father. They threw dad under the bus. Don't you love that? And what did Joseph's brothers say to Pharaoh? They said, hey, Pharaoh, we want you to know something. We're shepherds. We're shepherds, and as shepherds, understand they were preaching a message. You may not like us, but we're going to stay true to our roots. You may not pat us on the back and accept us into society, but we're going to stand where God would have us stand. I was listening to a sermon this morning by my uncle, Paul Schwenke. I'm sure sometime soon he'll come here. He's been an evangelist for over 30 years. God's used him all over the country. But my uncle was preaching on podcasts, and I was listening to him preach, and he was preaching from 1 Peter. And he started to just go through the history of 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, it was written to those Christians that had been scattered abroad. Remember, there was persecution that was taking place, and it was illegal for you to be a follower of God with the Jews' religion. If you said Jesus Christ is the Messiah, if you accepted him to be your Savior, the Bible says, or the historians would tell us, that you would be kicked out of the synagogue. For us today, we'd be like, oh, we're kicked out of church, no big deal. We'll go down to another church and join up with another church. But that was not the case in the days of Peter. Man, the synagogue was where everything took place. Hey, if you were thrown out of the synagogue, you lost your job, you most likely lost your bank account, your family would turn your back upon you, and you would literally not know where your next meal was coming from. And as Peter was writing there in 1 Peter, he says, listen, I'm writing to the strangers that are scattered abroad in Bithynia and Cappadocia and all throughout the Asia Minor area. He said, I'm writing to you strangers that are pilgrims that are all over scattered abroad because of your faith. What was Peter saying? He's saying, guys, you won't fit in. As a believer, a blood-bought child of God, you're not going to fit into the society which surrounds you. You're not going to bow the knee to Nero. You're not going to bow the knee to the religious system of the day. And Peter was encouraging those people, in spite of all that surrounded them, to keep that hope and that encouragement. Why? Because their home was in heaven. And Joseph and his brothers, as they came and stood before Pharaoh, the Pharaoh said, what is your occupation? And they said, I want you to know, Pharaoh, that we are shepherds. What were they preaching in that message of being shepherds? Number one, they recognized that they were despised. They were despised by Egypt. Most likely, his brothers would have gotten a job in the palace because of Joseph. But Joseph reminded them that the will of God was more important than money, praise of men, position, and the credit card of the world. He preached a message, hey, it doesn't matter what Egypt has to offer, we're saying no to Egypt. They were despised by the Egyptians, but I think about as believers how we are despised by the world. I think about how the world looks at a true sold-out child of God, and the world would say, well, that's just crazy. By the way, just because somebody has a title Christian does not mean that they are a true follower of God. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, the Bible talks about those that had faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 32 or 11, it talks about the walls of Jericho fell down. And he said, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the fiery darts of wickedness, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance of the king. And some wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and some dwelt in the mountaintops. And what was the writer of Hebrews saying? He was saying those in Hebrews chapter number 11 that made a difference for God were those that did not fit in with the society in which they surrounded themselves with, but they were willing to be the shepherds, willing to be despised by the world to be a true follower of the Savior. I wonder tonight, child of God, are you willing to be despised as a shepherd, as a follower of Jesus Christ? I have to smell like, look like, act like a child of heaven while I live here on this earth. Number one, as they were shepherds, it was an understanding they were despised. But number two, I see they were devoted. Look in verse number three. It says, and Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our father. And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. What were they saying? They were saying, hey Pharaoh, we want you to know something. We're not taking your government job. I've got some friends of mine right now that work at the Pentagon. I got a friend of mine that I don't know what he does for a job, but whenever I was in his wedding back in August, and he works with the CIA doing something, and I'll talk to him every 3 or 4 weeks. I'll call him, leave him a voicemail, and he'll call me when he's back in town. Drew, what did you do? Well, I can't tell you, man. I just flew all over the world and took care of some problems that were out there. But I think about jobs. You know, so many people are devoted to the dollar. I think about my father-in-law, John. I remember talking to him back a couple years ago while he's still driving his truck and working for Copper and Brass and the company. And he told me, he said, Steve, he said, I don't care what a bigger trucking company could offer and pay. He said, I'm not going to leave my job. I love my job too much to leave it for the craziness of some other trucking business. And I looked at my father and I thought, you know what? That's a man devoted to his company. That's a man devoted to the job that he has. You know, I think about Joseph, his brothers, they looked at Pharaoh and they said, Pharaoh, we want you to know something. We're devoted to what God's called us to be. We are shepherds. Our servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. What were they saying? They were saying, we're not interested in changing jobs. They were committed to doing the will of God for their life and continue being shepherds. I wonder tonight, child of God, are you devoted to the Savior? It says in Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you dedicated? Are you committed to the Savior? I want my life to reflect an individual that's devoted, just not to an employer or an employee, but I want to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Elisha could be trusted to be the next prophet. Why? Because he was devoted to doing the job that was in front of him as a young teenager, and that's when God called him out and placed him under the apprenticeship of Elijah. I wonder, are you an individual that is devoted completely to Christ? We see as they stood before Pharaoh. By the way, isn't it unique that in verse 2 it says, and he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. You know, Joseph didn't take all 12 or 11 of his brothers. You say, Pastor, why is that? I think it's because Joseph didn't really know him. You know, it's been 20 plus years since they threw him, you know, into the pit and sold him as a slave. And Joseph really didn't know, who these guys were. And so Joseph didn't want just everybody there making a fool of themselves. No, he chose 5 guys that he knew would present themselves well to Pharaoh. And, that's smart thinking when it comes to just practical application. When it comes to life, hey, don't have somebody you don't know represent you. You know, don't have some crazy, you know, hey, make sure you think through the process of who's going to, if you one day have to go to court, make sure you get a guy that's, you know, that's actually, you know, wears decent clothes, you know, don't get a bum off the street, you know. So anyway, just 2 cents worth there. But notice, so we see message number 1, they preach their shepherds. But notice, second of all, there in verse number 4, and said, they said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. We see number 2, they preached a message. Not only are we shepherds, but number 2, we're sojourners. Verse number 4, for to sojourn. What's the purpose statement of your life? What was the purpose statement for the brothers coming to Egypt? Hey, why are you in Egypt? Let me ask you, child of God, what's the purpose statement of your life? Paul's purpose statement was, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is your purpose statement for life? You know, we all ought to have something that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, brothers, what is your purpose here at Egypt? And they said, Pharaoh, we just want to let you know something. We're here as sojourners. Hey, we're not here forever. We're here for just a short amount of time. And one day soon, we're going to leave Egypt and we're going to go back to our home. We're going back to the land in which we're from. Man, what a powerful message to preach. Hey, this world is not my home. Egypt is not my final resting place. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp, and a crown. They preached the message, we're sojourning here in the land. It was a temporal status. We're here for just a short amount of time. I put down here for an illustration. I think about when we were in evangelism. And man, we traveled all over the country, and one thing we absolutely despised was staying with people. I know some of you say, well, you know, don't you enjoy staying up late and fellowshipping with everybody and eating all their awesome food? No, absolutely not. And when we would preach, man, we wanted to go back and kick our shoes off and just relax, because, man, we were strangers. We didn't know the people we'd stay with, and got to the place toward the end of traveling that we ended up paying for a lot of our hotels because we just wanted that privacy. But I remember sometimes we stay in some really nice houses. But you know what? It didn't matter if it was a mansion, right outside of New York City, or if it was a junker house in upstate New York with, you know, the exposed beams and, boy, just awful. It didn't matter where we were at. We always desired to leave quickly. Why? Because it was not our home. It was not our bed. They were not our pillows. We did not feel like we could, you know, be ourselves when we were guests at somebody else's house. What were the brothers saying? They were saying, hey, Pharaoh, we're just temporary guests. Man, we're just here for a short amount of time. Hey, one day soon, we're out of here. One day soon, the trumpet's going to sound. And, man, we're going to leave Egypt and we're going to go back. They were planning on leaving. They were not planning to stay for a long time. I put this down. They paid by the night, but not by the month. And man, they went to the hotel. We'll just put on the credit card for one more night. Hey, just one more day. We're here in Egypt. Why? Because they lived with that thought. One day soon, we're leaving. It was a temporal status. I see there was a timely statement. We're sojourners. He says in verse number 4, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. Not only were they sojourners in this timely statement, but they were servants. They were not employees, but they were servants. They did not desire the palace, just the field. They didn't want the king's pat on the back. They didn't want some executive position. They didn't want some government job. No, they simply wanted to be in the land of Goshen, bidding their time till that time came for them to leave. They said, we're just servants. We don't want the praise of men. We just want the praise of God. In this statement of being servants, they were humbled because they realized, hey, we're nothing fancy. We're nothing special. We're just serving the Savior. They were sojourners. They were servants, and they were seeking the land. They were looking for a city. They said, we have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. I wonder tonight, are you a child of God that is looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? We see, number one, as they stood before Pharaoh, they preached a message. We're shepherds. They preached a message. We're sojourners. But notice, I think about thirdly, the last thing that stands out in this passage. Look in verse number 5. It says, and Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. And the land of Goshen let them dwell. And notice the statement here. It says, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. You know, that's a unique statement. Men of activity. What was Pharaoh saying? Pharaoh said to Joseph, he said, hey, I want you to know something, Joseph. You know your brothers, and if there are men that have a work ethic, if there are men that are, if they're trustworthy, if there are men that, if they've proven themselves, then Pharaoh said, I want you to take my cattle, I want you to let them oversee that cattle. What was their testimony? I think about thirdly, their testimony was this, is they were scraped. They had battle wounds. They were scarred. Man, Pharaoh looked at these guys that had been in the under that hot Mediterranean sun for years. Man, they had the sunburns. They had probably their skin was quite dark. Man, they were individuals that labored every day under that hot, intense sun. And Pharaoh said, listen, I look at these men, and man, they are men that carry themselves like individuals that have a work ethic. They bore the scars in their body. They were reminders of the work that was done. The reality was that they bore a testimony of being busy about the activities that God had called them to. I wonder, child of God, are there scars in your life when it comes to your walk with God? Are there places that you can go to? I think about scars. I remember when I was in college, I was getting ready to go back to it was the summer. I was working at a concrete factory, and I was getting ready to go back to college in just a couple days. And I'll never forget, I'm working on the block line, and the blocks are coming out, and an 80-pound beast of a thing. Man, they're rolling out. And I'll never forget, my finger got caught in between two of those blocks. And I'll never forget the intense pain that followed as, man, there was a big old blood blister, and man, black and blue, guts and glory and all that stuff. It was my dad's factory. I thought, man, I'm going to sue him, and that'd be awesome to sue dad. But I mean, man, I'll never forget the intense pain. And one of the guys came over. He was an old Italian guy. And man, he came over, Mr. Vinny, and I'll never forget, he took my finger, and he popped that blood vessel. I'm talking about, you know, like a water fountain. You know, it was awful. It was disgusting. I get queasy thinking about it. But I remember I went back to school, man, and really for quite some time, I had a huge scar from my work in the summer. You know, people are like, what'd you do this summer? Well, you know, I played video games. Not me, man. You know, I got, man, look at my bruises. Look at my cuts. You know, they could say, hey, look at all the different marks in our bodies from our life of serving as shepherds. You say, Pastor, how does that apply to my life? There ought to be certain marks in your life. There ought to be certain places that you can go and say, you know what? This is what I've done for Jesus Christ. And this is my testimony, and this is my life. Pharaoh said, if there are men of activity, I'm wondering tonight, are you an individual that is busy in your activity for the Savior? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Hey, tomorrow at the workplace, serve the Lord. Hey, tomorrow when you get around your coworkers, serve the Lord. Hey, as you interact with others, have an attitude of, hey, I'm scarred because I'm serving God. Here's the proof in my body. Here's the marks in my body. Here's what I'm doing for Christ. Pharaoh said, looked at those five brothers and said, Jeff, there's no doubt about it. They look like men of activity. That Joseph, you know their character. If they're true workers, then, hey, have them take care of my cattle. And boy, I love this story as they stood before Pharaoh. Man, they didn't try to blend in. They didn't try to fit in and with society, but no, they said, we want to dwell in Goshen. We want to dwell outside of the city. Hey, we're shepherds. We expect you to despise us because we're here temporarily. We're sojourners. And there are individuals that had scars because of their service for their temporal earthly father. But ultimately, we should have scars in our lives from serving our eternal Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just wonder tonight, child of God, are you an individual that is living that life of a shepherd, despised by the world? Are you an individual that's a sojourner? Are you an individual that is serving the Lord as being faithful for your service for Him? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your reminder tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would take these truths. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the importance of being a shepherd. Lord, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. You've called us to be Christians. You've called us to serve you. So help us to do that this week. Lord, help us not to slack in that. Lord, help us to remember that we're sojourners. We're here just temporarily. Lord, one day soon the trumpet's going to sound. King Jesus is going to call us home. And Lord, I pray that we would have those scars in our life from serving you. Lord, help us, I pray, to make an impact for Christ. And now, Lord, as we dismiss, I pray that we would be dismissed with your blessing. And we pray for those that could not be with us tonight. Lord, we pray again for Miss Charlotte, touch her body. Miss Janice, touch her body. Miss Beth, touch her. Lord, I pray for Luke. Would you touch him? And Lord, I pray that we would all get together here Sunday again, rejoicing about what you've done in our lives. Help us to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And Lord, if you don't come, I pray we'd be found faithful. But we do pray, Lord, even before Sunday, that you'd come back and take us home to heaven. Now dismiss us with your blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, I love you. And praying for you. Don't know what's going on out there, but you be safe. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let me know. But we're praying for you. And